in March of 2016, and hopefully it will work well for the community.
As you look for attendance and ask for feedback, what it would mean for our constituency, I think the fair answer is basically nothing. I think the people will still fly on Friday and fly out on Friday. So in terms of the sessions, I understand where you're going to, and that is understandable. But we will need our day, and all of us for us are here basically for business, right? It's not only ICANN that drives it. So for us, it doesn't matter whether it's 4 days or 7 days. You know, we come here, we do our shit, and then we fly out again.
And that was Tom Keller, who's forgotten his name. It seems to be a recurring thing. Mr. Greiman, who has remembered his name.
Volker Greimer speaking again. Just one question. I'm channeling James Bladel here, who is currently not here, but he used to say that for some of us it's kind of almost an insult, but in a humorous way he usually says it, that the opening ceremony is on Monday when some people have already been here for 3 days, full days, and working. As a GNSO council member, that is my experience as well. How will council sessions be placed in, for example, the four-day meeting? Will they be eliminated from that meeting, or are they not part of the official four-day schedule?
We would look to you to tell us what your requirements are for the 4 days. We're not going to dictate to you whether or not you should have a council session, but what we will say, it has to fit within the parameters of the four meeting days. The outreach day is the big unknown at this moment. We know we are going to have outreach, as Tanzanika mentioned. The idea, the concept, and the meeting strategy working group was very clear that we should take advantage of the fact that we have smaller meetings to go to locations where we have not necessarily been before. Which is the perfect opportunity for outreach into those communities. So what happens with the remaining, let's say, 3.5 days is your call. And we'll work with you to make sure that we set aside the space that you need to accomplish that.
Okay, I'm conscious of the fact that, yet again, we're up against the time. Registrars, you all have the slides from this, and thanks to Nick and Tanzanika and everybody else. We will probably follow up with you with questions, I suspect. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay, then. As per our schedule, which I'm just bringing up, we were meant to have a closed session now between 14:20 and 15:15, but I think we covered most of the topics we wanted to discuss earlier, so I'm not sure if we really need to use that as a closed session. Marika was meant to give us a presentation earlier, but you know I can't ever move the ESAC because their schedule was a disaster. So if nobody's opposed to it, I would suggest that we get Marika to do her thing, and it'll be interactive. Basically, you get to grill her in the nicest possible way, of course. Yes, Graham.
Hi, Graham for the transcript. I think it would be good to get Marika in, and that might be a good segue for some close to a discussion about the policy working groups that a number of us are in, and probably updates from people working on those and a bit of discussion.
We need to be closed for that? I personally couldn't give a damn. I mean, you guys tell me, do you want it to be closed or open? I mean, are you going to say something absolutely crazy that you
scandalous
wouldn't...
Scandalous and...
Yeah, exactly.
Inflammatory, it's
not impossible. I would think that some of our perspectives on policy development might and should possibly remain just within the registrars.
Okay,
but
yeah,
I also, if other people disagree, feel strongly.
Okay, thank you. I'm not sure how we are with all the remote stuff. So I've been getting messages from Paul, who obviously is drinking lots of very strong coffee or something and keeping himself awake. So, Marika, where are you? Oh, you're way over my left. She's way over my left, so I can't see her because I've got a Volker in the middle. You probably have a couple of things you want to talk to us about, but I think from our perspective, it's probably better to have some kind of a conversation about it rather than just a simple, here's a load of slides with nice, funny clip art.
Hi, this is Marika, for those of you that don't know me, policy staff, team leader for the GNSO, based in the ICANN office in Brussels. I've only brought 30 slides today, but I'm not going to talk through all of those. Those are most to... I presume these will be circulated or may have already been circulated to you, so you have those as a reference. If you can maybe just go to the next slide. Because it's probably more useful that you tell me what you would like to hear about or talk about. As you know, there are quite a few issues that are under active consideration in the GNSO. I heard you already talking this morning about translation and transliteration. There are a bunch of other things that are being discussed. I think several of you may have participated as well in the GNSO weekend sessions where updates have been provided on several of these issues. So maybe I'll just look around the room and see what you would like to talk about.
And thousands died in the rush. Okay, I suppose I'll put myself in here. At one point there, going back maybe 2 years ago, your team were able to average out, you know, the amount of time it took for a PDP to go end-to-end, and that the average was, 18 months?
So this is Marika. It depends a bit where you draw the line for starting and finishing. Because basically the real starting point is, of course, request for an issue report, staff does work, comment period. So I think that whole process, I think we looked at it was, 2 to 3 years. But the more, and of course, and you also have implementation. What comes even after that, that we haven't really tracked, but it's something we may want to do as well. So people do get a complete picture of what it takes from an issue to be raised to final implementation, noting that, of course, there are differences depending on, you know, what kind of issue you're working at and the complexity of it, because in certain cases, you know, the policy phase may be shorter than the implementation phase because of the complexities that may be involved, or may as well be the other way around. But we did some statistics on that, and I think on the working group phase, to get to initial report, it's typically like a year, more or less, to get from a working group to produce an initial report for public comment.
Thanks, Marika. It's Michele again for the record. So one of the things that a couple of us have been trying to raise in various venues is the barrier to entry to kind of kick off a PDP. I mean, that in many respects it's a little bit too easy to start a PDP on something which could have a massive negative effect and very little real benefit. I don't know if there are any plans within any of these many processes to change that. But at the moment, there's no economic or other kind of impact assessment done before something is kicked off. And then by the time it goes through an entire, a policy-driven set of processes with little or no consideration for the operational and financial impact.
So this is Marika. So just to note, I mean, even though you see quite a few items here on the list, we actually only have, you know, 3 PDPs that are currently in a working group phase. I mean, there are a couple that are planned to kick off later this year. But to your point, I mean, it is something that is encouraged in the PDP manual, and I think it's probably an area where, you know, everyone can do maybe a little bit better to try and as much as possible to discuss issues at the outset before an issue report is requested. And as part of that, try to gather as much data as possible to assess, you know, the impact of the issue, which parties are involved, and what is expected to be needed to, you know, conduct a PDP, to take that into account as part of the planning. And of course, as part of the policy development process itself, at the point that a working group has recommendations, it is also expected to look at, you know, what are the implications of those recommendations on the parties that are affected by it. So I think that is something that, you know, throughout the process is being considered. But I think specifically to your question that, you know, it's easy to start, I don't think we've necessarily seen that it has resulted in a, you know, huge amount of PDPs that are being requested. I think there, it seems to be that on you know, the issues that we're working on, translation and transliteration, I think that came out of one of the recommendations of, if I remember correctly, I think the IRD working group, which I think was a joint effort between, I think, GNSO, ESSEC, some other groups that highlighted that it would be important to look at that issue. Privacy proxy, that basically comes out of the
2013 RA.
Yes, the RA negotiations. And then curative rights, that is actually something that has come out of another PDP that was done on the IGO-INGO protections, which, you know, is one of the issues that has been on the table for a while, as well as a result of GAC advice. So I think, you know, those are three that have been specifically initiated as a result of other processes and not, you know, just because someone thought we should be working on those.
I have Graham and then Volker.
Thanks, Michele. Graham for the transcript. I think the point you were making, Michele, is somewhat being addressed, hopefully, in the data metrics and policymaking working group, where we're pushing there, at least I've been trying to push in there, that data and the questions that are driving, you know, PDPs and policy development need to be looked at upfront, ensured that there's actually for real a concrete problem to be solved before we ever get, you know, farther down the line and 2 years into a policy development process. So yep. Hopefully the outcome of that group will be helpful in limiting some of the spurious stuff, if there is spurious stuff that happens. And in theory in that, it should help identify costs as well of the outcome. Like.
Okay, thanks. That's kind of helpful. I mean, just my comment on that is that, you know, some of the stuff that we were discussing in the meeting yesterday with law enforcement was a prime example of, you know, a complete void of metrics. You know, there's absolutely nothing measurable, yet the implications of the change is measurable. As you know well, because you know, the statistics of the number of domains you have to suspend is not a zero amount. Volker, and I think James wants to jump in because he's got that look on his face. Eventually, yes, eventually.
One thing that I see missing from this, and of course this is due to the fact that these are no longer being discussed in the GNSO, but beyond that stage, is the former working groups that are currently in the implementation stage, which in some cases may also cause impact that was not foreseen by the members that were working in the working group stage by implementations going beyond or in a different direction than what was originally conceived or agreed upon, or even just a different perspective on the same recommendations. So that would also be something that we would like to see discussed, where the implementations of working groups that have concluded, have had board approval, is standing, and where it is going, not with respect to a timeline, but all, maybe just looking at the recommendations and how they are going to be implemented.
So this is Marika. So I think that's actually a question as well, maybe more specifically for my GDD colleagues, and I know that they're working on further, you know, public information on the status of all the implementation projects, and, you know, Caitlin already provided an oral overview on that. But I think it's a general point, and that, you know, helps me as well to get to one of the efforts I did want to mention is on policy and implementation. That working group currently has an initial report out with a number of recommendations that relate to policy and implementation-related aspects. And that specifically goes as well to the detail of requiring implementation review teams that work with ICANN staff on the implementation of policy recommendations to make sure that they're implemented in accordance with the intent of the recommendations. And those implementation review teams would also be the kind of soundboard, or at the same time as well, flagging mechanisms should, at the time of implementations, issues emerge that, you know, either weren't considered or foreseen at the time of the policy development stage, that they have a way to flag that back to the GNSO Council for further consideration and addressing. So that's one of the aspects that report is looking at. In addition, it's proposing three new additional GNSO Council processes so that, and I think it maybe goes partly as well to Michaela's point or question, that currently the only formal process that the GNSO Council has as its availability is a PDP, which is, you know, a big hammer to, you know, sometimes maybe hit a very small nail. So that may allow, those additional processes may allow for the council to actually develop guidance or input on those issues that, you know, are not intended to result in a contractual obligation, so that do not require a PDP, but at the same time would have a binding impact when those are recommended to the board. And that, I think, specifically relates then as well to implementation-related issues, for example, or questions that sometimes come back from the board to the GNSO on how to deal with a certain issue. If I can make one more point to Graeme's point on the data metrics and policy making, maybe just to make a plug that, and I think I've done that in previous meetings as well, I think that group can really do with some more participation. And I think as at every meeting, I think you're raising the point on how important it is to have, you know, data and focus on metrics, because, you know, one of the other aspects that group is looking at, how can you make sure that metrics are determined at the time of policy development so you can actually measure whether the policy recommendations you've put forward and implemented are doing what you thought they would do. And if they're not doing that, how can you course correct or make sure that there's a, you know, a benchmark in place? So that's, I think, one of the other aspects that that group is looking at. So really would like to encourage anyone interested in that topic to get involved in that group. And I think their objective is to have an initial report out before Buenos Aires, I believe. So again, we hopefully can discuss it further at that stage.
James.
Thanks. So, you know, the idea of a economic impact assessment for PDP sounded really familiar, and I realize it's because we talked about it when we reformed the PDP manual a few years ago, and it's actually in there as part of the request for the issues report that an economic impact, I think it's lumped in with competition and privacy and things like that, so maybe it needs to be teased out. I think that what we're saying is that it's too easy to start a PDP based on speculation that there could be a problem versus the burden of demonstrating that there actually is a problem. And, you know, I think that we're seeing that across the board, whether we're seeing that in calls for more security, more safeguards, better whois, you know, more checks, identity, license to be on the internet. I mean, you know, you can hear these things because it's just, it's this idea that that until we get to this absolute zero of any kind of abuse, then that means our work must continue. And I think particularly when you look at that EWG, for those of you who weren't here this weekend, that's going to be a five-year deal, and it's going to be another 10 years to implement it side by side with whois. You know, so just let's be aware of what we're signing on for with just a little line item and a bullet point here. That's a pretty heavy lift, I think, for this community. And for our industry, it could translate into perhaps, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in development, deployment, maintenance, and operational costs that we don't have today. It's right now, it's unknown. And that's why I kind of wanted to rally some registrar help in helping to perform that economic impact assessment and try and figure that out. But one final point, and this is to the data and metrics. I'm very attracted to the idea that there would be like a data and metrics, like this, you know, this big database, and we could say, well, here's the problem, and here's the data that shows that we have, you know, X, and so therefore any policy must cost less than Y, and, you know, and everything. I think that's very appealing to business types. Be very careful with that. Okay, because when it becomes mandatory for us to report statistics, when it becomes an obligation to open the kimono, as they say, and make sure that ICANN has all of your statistics, not only about your business, but about your customers, but about your customer service and all the things that go wrong and all the complaints you get and all the abuse reports and what you've done with them and how long it took, and just be careful where that might lead. Particularly because I spoke to a friend of mine who just casually happened to mention that the data and metrics for U.S. registrars in particular might, depending on the data that we were being asked to share, might be an antitrust violation. if it kind of led to any sort of ability to infer competitive information. So I think the idea is very appealing, but the devil's in the details, like everything in this business. And you know, be very, very careful when we say to the. To, I guess that's an anti-plug for the data and metrics working group. But our legal folks are saying, boy, you know, stay away from that one.
Right, you can't have it all. You can't tell us we need data before starting policy development, and then not work with the community to get those. So I think it's
a bit
of chicken.
No, I think there are public data sources, Marika.
Right, but I think what the group is talking about as well, could there be a kind of third-party model? Not an ICANN, but have a kind of third-party model where someone would gather, anonymize that data and be able to... And again, that's why it's so important to have your perspectives in that group to make sure that we come up with something that's workable and, you know, you're willing to work with.
Yeah, and it was... I'm sorry, I should mention it was precisely the third-party model that caused the antitrust radar to go up. And I don't pretend to understand all of the nuances of that, but just letting you know.
If I may, this is Graham for the transcript. I'm the only registrar in that working group. The only other contracted party is Pam Little. If anybody else feels like getting involved, the workload is pretty low. It's 1 hour calls every other week. It's also been on hiatus basically since LA. So there hasn't been a lot of movement there. And a lot of it is just Pam and all right, so now is the time. I'm going to give a brief update on that working group, I guess, because this feels like a good time. Is Pam and I saying no and laying out all of the problems. And it is not a, it's a non-PDP working group, so it can't mandate anything. It can make suggestions. And there are so many problems with mandatory data collection that it could never work. You know, the number of registrars that have the capacity to have someone go and provide data for every request that came in is extremely small, and therefore the data is not representative in the first place. Antitrust violations. There's a whole number of reasons why it could never be a mandatory data collection. There's lots of reasons why that data could never live within ICANN, and now quite possibly there's reasons why it could never live with a third party. And all of those need to be explored. So if anybody else feels like exploring those with me, I'm more than welcome to have the company. But I'm certainly well aware of those concerns and trying to... I end up being the guy in that working group saying no constantly.
It's so weird that Sarah's over here trying to volunteer.
Oh, delightful. Has she done a working group before?
Yeah, sure.
Great.
We'll say yes.
Can't get enough. Thanks.
No, I think that we want to participate, and if nothing else, just to explain why this is not the cut and dried proposition that it sounds like. Give us data, and then we'll only make policy based on data. Is very tempting, but not...
I don't think anyone in that working group thinks that's the,
okay,
the case.
Right.
So they're, at least from my perspective, no one has that impression. Contracted parties, myself and Pam, have been pretty clear, at least as clear as possible, that there could be no mandatory obligation. We need to be extremely careful. It's specific issue focused. The data is not permanently kept. The data is anonymized. Stuff like that. If someone were to be willing to voluntarily contribute their data because it's an issue that they think is relevant, along those lines.
Okay. Anybody else? Apart from Marika. No, I'm only joking. On the other working groups, the... EWG, well, James, can you explain exactly where that's at? Because, okay, Marika can.
Yeah.
I see James looking very worried, but
no,
go
take
ahead,
it, take a swing at it. Take a swing at it. Oh, just that the EWG produced this report, and then kind of dropped it onto the GNSO and said, here.
Having served on the GNSO, or served on the EWG,
yes.
That's not exactly what happened.
I'm paraphrasing, McKelly.
We were meant to send it back to the board. The board dropped it on the GNSO.
Well, because it was actually, and that's when the GNSO said, now what do we do with this? Because This is actually a board-initiated PDP. This is not a report. This is not a review team. This is not a drafting team or a cross-community unit. This is actually a PDP that's been working, and what do we do with this? And the good news is that the board and the GNSO put together this team to kind of decide how to continue to proceed on this. And I think we've been studying that it's very process-driven. We haven't really dove into the material, but process-driven is we're trying to find a way to move this into a phased PDP, a very large, very complex, very lengthy phased PDP with multiple inputs, and trying to define, okay, what sort of data pieces do we need to get this thing off the ground? The EWG report being one, other reports and studies and past reviews being other data sources that would help inform this PDP. And then at each point, I believe there are three key points for the issues report, which would be forthcoming, I think, after this meeting, but before Buenos Aires, is that? Yeah. And then after the issues report, that would be put out for comment, and then the GNSO would then decide to proceed with phase one, and then based on the outputs of phase one, then proceed to phase two. That's how I see it. I'll let Marika tell me where I'm wrong, fill in the blanks, and then I'd like to come back and tell you what I think about the EWG effort after that.
All right. So this is Marika again. So I think James explained it very well. I mean, one point to note, I think this is one of those efforts where indeed a lot of information gathering happened before the actual PDP launched or went into the next phase. So I think this is an effort where, you know, an attempt was made to really try and get as much expertise around this area together and help, you know, use that as input to the policy development process. So I said, you know, the process that's being put forward is the result of a joint board GNSO working group or informal process working group, I think it was called, as this is an issue that was requested by the board to be worked on by the GNSO, basically. So I think where it currently stands, and indeed, you know, the group will review what feedback has been received during the ICANN meeting. There was a discussion on Saturday in the GNSO. There was a discussion on Monday with the broader community. So I think they will, you know, digest that input and see if based on that, they need to make any changes to their proposed approach. And then, indeed, if that is not needed, the idea is that an issue report would be drafted and published around the April-May timeframe, probably, for public comment. So then further community considerations can be held around the Buenos Aires meeting, most likely. It's the expectation as well that the preliminary issue report would include a proposed charter, again, to, you know, along the lines of what the process group has outlined, so it's really clear as well to everyone how the work is expected to be conducted and what the scope of the group will be. And maybe just one comment to a comment that James earlier made in relation to impact assessment, and I know some questions have been raised in this regard as well. But of course, to a certain extent, you know, can you already make an assessment of the impact if you don't know what you're recommending yet? So it's definitely foreseen to be taking place later down the road when it becomes clear what the working group would be recommending. And of course, you know, any costs would also need to be measured against, you know, the current system. What are the costs for the broader community as well as, you know, directly affected parties of the current system versus a potential new system? So I think that's where we're currently at.
James?
So now for the color commentary on EWG. This is actually a good process. I mean, given what we were handed and the tasks that we were asked to do and the problem and things that are in front of us and the systems that we have to work with, I guess it's as good as any, and I think people have worked on it in good faith. I know I've tried to contribute in good faith, but while we were, I think, putting a solid effort into the how we were going to do EWG, I still think there is an open question on whether or not, or the why of EWG, and whether or not the gains realized, the benefits from completely throwing WHOIS out and rebuilding it, according to everyone's wish list, is offset by the time, effort, and money that's going to have to go into that effort. And I don't know that, you know, we've ever really kind of had a frank and candid conversation about that. And I think I made a comment at the last time we were in Singapore that it feels like this is just a boulder rolling downhill and we're just all supposed to salute it while it goes by. You know, I don't know if that's a very good analogy, but I do feel like we're going to get this EWG issues report because the EWG and in this working group put so much work into it. And then we're going to get through phase one because we put so much work into it. And then we're going to get through phase two because we put so much work into it. It just feels like we're just constantly doubling down on this sunk cost fallacy of, well, because we've worked on so much on this effort, we can't abandon it. We can't stop it. We can't say no. We can't say we don't want to proceed. And I think we need to ask those questions, and I think that we need to have a dialogue about that. And I'm concerned that this thing's on autopilot.
Go ahead.
Thanks. This is Marika again. Well, I think the conversations have already been going for many, many years, and I think probably many people can think of some reasons why the current system is maybe not.
The conversations have been going for years. We can put it to a GNSO council vote.
Right, it has been put to a GNSO council vote, and last time they tried, it was voted down. So, I mean, I think it was before I came. But just to note as well, like, where this work started out, and I think it's really going back to the basis, what is the purpose of that data, and why are we collecting it, and who needs to have access? I think it's really trying, or at least as I understand it, this effort is really trying to go back to, let's start asking the basic questions and see if that meets, the model that we currently have, or that requires a different approach. And I think that's where, as well, if I understand, the EWG conversations have started. What is actually, the purpose of the data, and does that match, what we currently have, or, should we make adjustments? So I think that's where the conversation started, and how it's trying systematically to go through the questions that are associated with that, but starting from the purpose of it.
Well, I've said this in the past, I'm going to say it
name,
again.
Please.
So, Yoav Keren from the Mendenet. I see the EWG as a circumvent of the bottom-up GNSO multi-stakeholder model. I think it was created after, as you said, it was voted down at the GNSO Council. And this is where we should have had that discussion, whether this is needed or not, what James was just talking about. And there was no such discussion, and this is just, happening in a working group that is not through the GNSO policymaking. And I think maybe, I'm just proposing now for us, maybe we should propose a motion and start a policy in the GNSO discussing this. So we can, and that might, have that discussion if it's needed or not.
I just want to say, if somebody wants to do that, that would be great to at least have that vote before we take on a 10-year project.
Tom Keller, for the record. You totally lost me, guys. I'm sure I'm not the only one. You always talk about we. You say it's close to a PDP. You say we should vote it down. What is the status of that thing?
Yeah, let me maybe clarify. Just when I spoke about voted down, I spoke about the last effort, which I think was crisp back in 2008, of the voting down. Where we're currently at is a board-initiated PDP. So basically, for a board-initiated PDP, there is no intermediate vote of the GNSO Council on the issue report itself. There is a vote on the charter. So, but as I said, I think in we're a little bit new territory because we haven't had many board-initiated PDPs, and as I at least understand it from, I think, the board, GNSO, process working group, the objective is to make this a collaborative effort, so not a top-down approach. And I think as well the whole idea is that the EWG report helps inform the bottom-up multi-stakeholder process, and we're now really at the start of that. So basically the EWG report will feed into the preliminary issue report that, if all goes well, we would be publishing around April, May timeframe for public comment. So that is an opportunity, a first opportunity for the community to say, well, we don't think this should be done for these and these reasons, or the questions you're asking are not right, the way you are proposing to do this work we don't agree with. So I think that's the first checkpoint whereby the community can say, well, this is what we think of it.
So what would be the first point where the community can say, stop that?
I think at the issue report phase. So we publish the issue report, and there you can say, we don't think we should be taking on this work.
Well, but the main issue is, if it is an issue report, you will have the people that want it and you have the people that don't want it. And this is not really representative, and it should come down to a vote at some point of time, right? I mean, the council has to take on the work and someone has to do it. So someone has to make a decision that we're going to move forward with that.
Yeah, the right. Council will vote on the issues report.
No.
You will.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Okay. Hold on.
From a procedural, just to clarify, as it's a board-initiated PDP, there is no intermediate vote on the issue report. But
there will be a motion
to make clear
to vote on the issues report after the public comment is closed. There has to be. Otherwise, it's just rolling downhill.
Right, but I think what has been discussed between the board GNSO group is that at that point there would be a further conversation between the two groups to try and understand where are we at? Are we still on the same page? Do we need to course correct?
At what form? So what is who has this discussion? Who are we talking with?
There's a board GNSO process working group of which James, amongst others, is a member. So that group is now having those conversations on what should be the process going forward. And that's what has been discussed on Saturday, on Monday, and what has been, the paper has also been shared with the GNSO Council, I believe, on what's proposed. So again, under the PDP rules, there's no requirement, and on a board-initiated PDP automatically proceeds. But as said, I think there's a real desire here to make this a collaborative effort. And, you know, procedurally, I don't know if the GNSO would decide to have a vote or say we're not going to do the work. I mean, I don't think there's anything the board can do to force it. So, again, I think it's really about a conversation between the GNSO and the council to understand what is it that we're trying to achieve. You know, do we have the bandwidth to do it? Do we have a plan in place to, you know, make sure we're set up for success? And if not, let's talk about it. That's at least my understanding of where we're currently at.
So you see what I mean? Autopilot.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen.
But shouldn't the board be able to, at the board level, if it has an issue, it wants the GNSO to look in?
Absolutely.
Actually do that?
And they did. They can initiate a PDP, and that's what's happened.
Yeah, but you're talking about trying to kill it before it gets there, right?
Like, no, not at all. I think what we're saying is that we're trying to define the process. Since a board-initiated PDP has never really kind of existed to this level before on this particular issue, that we're saying, how does it work? How does a board-level PDP actually work? And we're figuring that out. And I think what this group has done, the board and the GNSO, has put together a roadmap and said, okay, here are your checkpoints, and there are three. And here are the steps, here are the inputs, and here are the three phases and all this stuff. And I think what I'm saying is, and I think what a lot of people are saying is, at least in this room, is those checkpoints cannot just, what I'm saying is those checkpoints cannot be rubber stamp approvals. We have to say, do we want to proceed? Look at the work that's in front of us. Look at the problem. Look who's going to benefit and look who's going to bear all the burden and all the costs. And do we want to proceed? And if the answer is yes, we go forward to the next phase. And if the answer is no, then we don't. But the problem is I think that people are dividing, that some are building this roadmap with the impression that those are just mile markers that you blow by at 60 miles an hour and not stop and assess type, you know, decision points. And I believe procedurally that there is, because we're building in these checkpoints, that there is a viable outcome that the GNSO could say, we don't want to go forward with this.
As opposed to going forward and producing a report that says do nothing. Like, my fear is
that's
that
take
the board will
years,
make policy. but the board will make policy in a vacuum. They'll just make it. Like, here at least they're shoving something down to the GNSO and saying, please make policy. Maybe it would be better to go through and say the policy is don't, you know, do nothing.
You know, I guess I maybe have a little more confidence in the board that they won't just insert policy in a vacuum. They did that by initiating this process, and they've been working with us collaboratively to get to this roadmap.
Okay.
And that if the roadmap at some point says the road ends here, that they would respect that. Some of them.
One more question would be, if it becomes ever a regular PDP, then the council has to vote on it, and it has to be carried to be part of our contracts. That is still the case, even that.
And it is a regular PDP.
Yeah.
So it's not an if it becomes. It is today. Yes, absolutely.
Marika, go ahead.
So this is Marika. the only difference between a board-initiated PDP and one that would be initiated by the council is basically at the request for an issue report. So normally the council votes on that, but when it's requested by the board, staff will automatically prepare that. And it's at the time of the initiation. According to the PDP manual, at the time of initiation, normally if the council initiates it, there would be a vote to initiate. But again, the voting threshold is pretty low, I think, as people have already remarked. In the case of a board-initiated PDP, there is no intermediate vote. The only vote that would happen at the start is actually on the charter. So again, that would be another kind of checkpoint if council votes down the charter because you don't agree with the approach or what the scope or that's another point where you could say, look, that's we need to have a conversation because obviously there's no support for going forward as it is. The PDP doesn't foresee currently any kind of formal mechanism around that. But as I said, I think the board GNSO process working group is kind of treading new territory in trying to find that mechanism by which this collaboration can be established between the GNSO and the board to make sure that everyone is on the same page and that the GNSO is not being asked to do work it doesn't want to do or doesn't think it can do, and the board also has realistic expectations of what the direction the GNSO wants to go with this. So I think that's where we're currently at, but it's still relatively new territory, and I think we're trying to make sure that we find the best way forward.
Okay, thanks, Marika. I think we need to really step back now for a moment and just look at our engagement or lack of engagement in certain PDPs, working groups and all that. James and Volker, and I see a few other people, just looking down the list, the translation and transliteration of registration data, Emily Taylor's in there. Who else is in there from the registrars?
I think Yoav is in that as well, no?
Well, let's rephrase that. Who is actively in any of these working groups? Currently actively in any of these working groups? Translation and transliteration, Emily's in there. Privacy and proxy, who's privacy and proxy? There's loads of people. Policy and implementation?
How about our XCOM put a list out to the mailing list of every working group and who's in it and where we need people?
The thing I want to actually get to, Rob, is a very simple one, is that there are some people who are doing a lot of these working groups. There's other people who aren't doing any. Just being blunt about it.
Okay, so you're not going to solve that by discussing it for 10 minutes here. Get a list together where we need people and ask for volunteers.
We've tried that.
Okay, so then status quo.
No, you know what?
No.
Not status quo, because I have a different idea, which is that we sit on a lot of unspent money at the end of each year, and I believe that we used to have an advocate, we used to have some assistance, and we've talked to the Baba on the XCOM, and I think we're almost ready to release an RFP for a secretariat, because I think what we're saying, Rob, is that these are important. We're all too busy to take more on, but we're kind of absent from the conversations, and so let's hire it out. Let's get some help. And I think that's where we're at.
I'd support that, with the exception of secretariat would seem to be more of an administrative type thing. What you're really looking for is a senior advocate.
Yeah.
That is very different than a secretariat. So if you want to spend money, and it'll be expensive, I get it, I'd support that, because we need to be on these. But I don't think that it's a junior or intermediate. I think it's got to be some senior.
No, that's fair. And I think we've got a RFP that we can circulate. I think the key thing here is that we're all business people, and so we like to see we took in X and we only spent Y, so we're doing the right thing. But I think in the context of a stakeholder group, the money left in the bank account at the end of the year is a failure. It's bullets left unfired, and we need to start being a little more assertive with those resources and get some folks engaged on this. The other constituencies certainly aren't shy.
Tom, go ahead.
I support that completely. 101 would support that. The sooner the better, actually.
Jennifer?
So I think the takeaway from that is that XCOM will take a look at the draft RFP that has not been submitted to sent out to the SG yet, take comments from Rob and incorporate in order to get input from the SG.
Yeah, we'll take comments from the SG.
No, I know that, but I mean, there's a draft now that we now need to revise based upon this feedback, and then we'll send it out to the SG.
Okay. Anything else around the policy stuff that you want to ask Marika, or can we release her? Go ahead.
It isn't, Rick, if we can just make one last comment, and again, on the policy implementation. The public comment forum is open until the 4th of March, and as there's a lot of stuff in there specifically relating as well to implementation, which I think, you know, I know you all care about deeply, you know, please have a look and, you know, provide your input. You know, the traditional public comment forum is open, but we also have a survey, which may make it easier for you to, you know, agree, disagree, suggest these changes kind of format, and we also have a template that may make it easier to provide input. So, and if you want to hear more about that, there's a session tomorrow afternoon, I believe, from 3:30 to 5, to talk about the report and the recommendations. So, of course, you're more than welcome to join there as well.
Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I would have a last request. And I was trying to figure out lately what is ongoing in ICANN, and I couldn't find a single page with an overview which is outlining this is the name of it, this is the status, this is the timeline, whatsoever. There are lots of documents, I'm aware of them, and I just don't want to look at all of them to understand where we are in the process. It's very, very complicated. It took me seriously 2 days to understand what all these points were about. So this is another thing why we have so little participation, because the people just don't understand what the whole things are about. So it took us half an hour to sort out what is with the EWG, where most of the people don't even understand what the acronym means. And so if we really want to have more people doing something, if you guys want to have more people doing something, we really have to be more transparent about that. So when you say, oh, that's my policy hat I'm wearing, and so these are all the policy things, and then again, implementation is someone else, right? So I have to look at other pages to see what's happening. Then we have the surveys and other shit is going on. And for us, it's not transparent because we are all affected by all of it and we have to put resources into it. But we don't even know how much resources we need. So having one page that's really dedicated just to these are the line items we're looking at currently would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, and this is Rick, and that feedback is much appreciated, and I think there, you know, we'll be looking to the different groups to get more input on that. How can we make it easier for you to find and access information? You may have seen that, you know, prior to this meeting, we actually did create a new GNSO page, like a one-stop information page, where, you know, people can hopefully more easily find information. We also created a page specifically dedicated to preparing for ICANN meetings related to GNSO. We also have the policy briefings that are circulated right before the meeting that are kind of one-pagers, trying to give people indeed the status update. But again, you know, anything else we can do to make that easier, you know, we're really looking you know, to hear from your groups with specific suggestions on how we can assist in that, because, you know, it's, I think, in all our interest to make sure that when people come, they can find the things they need, they feel that they have the tools available to participate. So so we're looking forward to collaborate more on that as we go forward.
Okay, thanks, Marika. Thanks, Tom. Just on, damn it, it's really loud, Michele, for the transcript. Hopefully, before the next ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires, there might be an update on some of this stuff around engagement and knowledge management and all this. Because, yeah, you're right. I mean, trying to find a document, even if Marika says to you, yes, that document exists. You're not stupid, she's not stupid, but you can't find it, which isn't particularly helpful. There is an ongoing discussion within ICANN senior staff and the chairs of the various SOAs, ACs and everything else to try to work on, well, identify the issues that people are having and trying to come up with fixes that can be made that will actually resolve it, rather than some of the stuff that seems to have happened in the past where they spent lots of money on consultants and didn't really get anything out of it. So hopefully we'll have more of an update for you on that in Buenos Aires. It's 3:10. According to our schedule, we were meant to be in this room until 4:15, and then we're meeting with the ICANN board in the Padang room, which is, I think that's where the GAC was. Oh, the main room. Oh, so someone beside it. Okay. We're meeting with the board at 3:30, so I would suggest we close this session and just give you another couple of minutes to get over to the board. And then, so we have a meeting with the board. In terms of the meeting with the board, we put in a couple of topics. So we have who is related initiatives, community workload, contract interpretation, and universal acceptance. And I think we're fairly well teed up on that. Who is related initiative? Sorry, go ahead.
Do we have a spokesperson for each one?
That's what I was just going to go through very, very quickly. Who is related initiative?
I didn't hear the unilateral interpretation.
It was there. I'm just mumbling, possibly. Who is related initiatives? Does anybody particularly want to deal with them? I can't remember who we assigned it to originally. Or I can do it if you want. I don't mind. It's all the same to me. James put himself down that. Community workload, Mr. Keller had volunteered for. Contract interpretation is Bob. And universal acceptance, does anybody want to do that one? No, you can jump in. Just so we clear, we've done this in the past, that one person kind of leads it out, and then obviously other people join. Okay. That's what I was trying to get an answer on. Okay. Look, I'll put myself down for universal acceptance then, if we get there, if we get to it. Well, I think the only thing I would say on universal acceptance is that ICANN needs to engage with people who can actually make a difference. I mean, talking to us about universal acceptance is not particularly helpful, because we're all going to go, yes, we think it's a wonderful idea, and everybody walks away from the meeting going, great, we had a wonderful meeting, we all thought it was wonderful.
How about spend some money?
Yeah, but where?
This is Jennifer Standiford for the record. Maybe regarding the suggestion that James put forward on spending money, we could link the proceeds from the private auctions to investment in universal acceptance.
I don't think a lot of people are going to go for that one, to be honest.
So I don't care. The question is, what's the process to get there, and can we start it, please?
Right. On the private auctions or the universal acceptance?
On what to do with the private auction money. These things need to be asks of the board. We're at the board level, not the staff.
We've already asked them about the private auctions one. They won't give an answer until all the private auctions are done.
No, what they've said is they'll listen to the community.
Right.
So,
but they won't start the conversation until all the private auctions are finished.
The private auctions are currently a topic at the GNS O level. The GNS O is trying to figure out how to initiate the process on that. The current thinking seems to be that a cross-community working group, either with the CCNSO or other affected groups outside the GNSO, would be the ideal way to deal with this. However, no concrete plans have been formulated yet. This has started at this meeting. Discussions are ongoing.
Okay, that's a great update, Volker. Thank you. But what's our ask on universal acceptance? Is it really just let's start spending some of this money? Because
I think asking for spending money is pointless, and it's also goes against what we've been advocating for in many other realms.
So, what is our ask with universal acceptance of the board, not the staff? Like, what are we asking the board to do? We know what we're asking on all the other topics. I worry that there's no asking.
Maybe we should look at this from a different perspective. Maybe we should not present an ask to the board, but provide suggestions of what we think, where universal, provide a status update from our perspective, provide a list of problems that we have seen, inform the board of what we see the problem as being and who would need to be informed, i.e. Get a free-flow discussion going instead of supplicating to the board and asking them to provide an answer.
So I think, going back to what the ask, I think that might be a way forward. But we solicited feedback from the members on the list. Those were like the four topics that we got back were condensed down to those four. They were the ones where we got the most engagement, the most take up. So I think that's what we need to. Ultimately, based on past experience, we're lucky to get through all four topics anyway. Because invariably we end up getting derailed on at least one. Or let me rephrase that. We get a higher level of engagement on at least one. Okay, so everybody... Go ahead.
Jennifer Standiford for the transcript. I realize that they already have the agenda items that we want to cover, but we don't necessarily have to go in that particular order, correct? So therefore, I think it's worth at least discussing the order in which we want to broach the subjects as far as ones are a higher priority over the others.
Contract workload, who is universal.
Does anybody else have any other suggestions?
Sorry, just for those who didn't hear me, I suggested as an order, it's Michele for the record, contract interpretation. It's one that we have the most interest in. The second one, community workload. Third one, who is. And the fourth, universal acceptance.
I wouldn't do the contract one. I think the contract one is the one where we get the most engagement and the most time spent. So if you put it first, you may not get to anything else.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
And who is another big one. So if you want to bang off, if you want to start with something light and get through the community engagement, I don't know what our ask is there, Thomas. Like, are we saying we want a fixed number of PDPs? Or, like, I get that we're burning out, but are we just informing them of that? Or, okay, so that should be an easy one. So why don't we start with that? And then it's either contract or who is, but both of those have the potential to derail. So maybe contract second and who is third and...
I don't mind. I mean, okay, so community workload is number one, contract number two, who is number three, and universal acceptance is number four, assuming we ever get to it. Yeah? Okay. So we are with the board from 3:30 onwards in Padang. Okay? See you there.
Thank you, Marika.
How's it going, Nick?
Dat iedereen een beetje ingekomen.